In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As you just heard, Jesus and his disciples arrived at a little village called Nain, or Nain, if you want to be really pedantic about it, but nobody says that. And they just encountered a funeral procession on its way out of the village. Well, we're not told very much about the people, except that the dead man was the only son of his widowed mother, which would have meant that she probably then had no one to care for her, to look out for her, to provide for her, and so her grief was even worse. We're also told that Jesus had compassion on her. Well, we who know what was soon to happen to Jesus can put two and two together. He must have been put in mind of his own mother's coming grief, as she would herself be in the same straits as this woman, widowed and losing her only son, her only child. So there's an added dimension to his compassion, an extra reason for him to feel especially touched by this woman's grief. He knew what his own mother would be feeling, losing her only child. And although he couldn't spare her that grief, he could spare this widow of Nain. So Jesus tells her not to weep. Advice that I'm sure was met with irritation by people who hear those sorts of things. Don't cry. Let's listen again to those words in a better translation. And he came and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. This miracle shows us that Christ is more powerful than death. The power of life and creation is in his simplest words, as we just got done saying in the Creed. By whom all things were made. And by his word, he commands that corpse to get up, and he did. So, of course, this nameless son of a nameless widow of Nain died again. His resurrection was only temporary. We might even think of it less as a resurrection and more of a revivification, perhaps. Note that just as in all the other resurrection miracles in the Gospels, the resurrections of Lazarus and the young girl, Christ does this not for the benefit of the departed, but for the benefit of a grieving family member. Lazarus, the young girl, and this nameless young man all died at some later date. Jesus, however, in his resurrection, is different. He is resurrected to a new life, to a different kind of life, to a permanent life. And this is the resurrection that's promised to Christians. Not that we will be brought back like some really bad science fiction movie. Not even good enough to be a B movie, maybe a C or a D movie, right? But that we'll be resurrected to a new life that will never end. Without Jesus, there is only death. With Jesus, there's new life. But this new life is not just a life of the Spirit. Christianity is not just a spiritual religion. Christianity does not teach that there is some ideal world beyond the things that we can see and hear and touch and taste. Christianity also does not teach that the material world is a mistake or an illusion or a creation of some demon. And Christianity does not even teach that only spiritual things are good. Christianity, the real Christian religion, and do I need to remind us that Christianity is the only real religion, is best understood when we look at the sacraments. The sacraments are the ways that God brings his power, his grace to us, and he uses ordinary material things, bread, wine, oil, water, other people. The sacraments use physical things to make spiritual reality. And this is the central Christian teaching, the doctrine of the Incarnation. The Incarnation is the truth that in Jesus Christ, God became a human being. The Word was made flesh. The Greek word there is not even just flesh. We think of it as meat, sarx. The spiritual became material. The sacraments are how the church has made the incarnation of Jesus extended into space and time, into here and now. So they help us to rejoice in the material creation. God put it here. God said it's good. And God came into it to be part of it for our sakes. The book of Genesis tells us that God put man in the Garden of Eden to take care of the material creation. The idea that we should protect and take care of creation is biblical, and to do it is in our own best and most Christian interest. Taking care of the physical creation is a highly spiritual act. Animals are a significant part of creation, of course. An entomologist friend of mine once said that God must really like beetles because he made so many different kinds of beetles. It's explained to me once as more different types of beetles than there are individual human beings. So, anyway, these are creatures are one of the most obvious ways through which God keeps his promises to give us food and drink and clothing. So when we bless animals, as we do near St. Francis Day, as you just got done hearing, right? We remind ourselves that God made them and that they are useful and they are pleasant and comforting, and we should take care of them the way that God takes care of us. After all, God loves us not because we are lovable, because most of the time we're not, but because we belong to him. He has brought us into his family. In about 10 days, I think it's actually exactly 10 days, is the Feast of St. Francis. Yeah, exactly 10 days. St. Francis had this vision of the Christ telling him to rebuild my church. And although that was his primary calling, we more often remember him as the patron of animals. An author once said about Francis, must he always remain the bird feeder saint? On his feast day, as a result, we bless pets and other animals. We bless friends with fur, friends with feathers, friends with scales, and other things. I've never blessed a pet rock, but I have blessed a pet tarantula. I didn't lay hands on it. I sort of got it from a distance. And we bless these creatures because God's love overflows, and we can't not share that love. We must share the miracle of God's blessing. Well, in this morning's gospel, so you knew I was eventually going to get back on the topic, right? Jesus performs a resurrection miracle. He tells a dead man who's being carried out to his grave to sit up and come to life. We live and die in the material world. Our hope for the afterlife is not some vague spiritual hope. We're not going to be floating around on a cloud with a little harp. How boring would that be? But rather, we have faith in the resurrection of Christ and in the new life that he brings. And you may well wonder what connection there is between raising someone from the dead and blessing dogs and cats and snakes and tarantulas and fish and other things. But it's not really that far of a stretch. When we love our pets, we love a part of creation, a part of that same creation that God looked at and said, it's good. God created it and approved of it and came into his creation to bring us back to him. So how can we share God's love with each other if we don't first share his love for the creatures he gave us to care for? The new life of the resurrection is a new life of God's Spirit and of his overflowing love. To God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end. Amen.